This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, up until 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk a lot of Tulane coming up with Gary Smith, talking Tulane with Memphis on Thanksgiving Day. But before we get to that, we'll have a break before them, and we'll talk to Gary. Carl in Hammond is on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What you got for Deuce and myself?
Well, heartbreak. just wondering, LSU lost Bryce Underwood. He got flipped. Not only is hurting, he's not going to play at LSU, but also hurting my hometown where I'm from, Columbus, Ohio, because I was looking at LSU keeping him out the Big Ten, but they couldn't close the deal. And I thought, you know, it was like an even exchange because we gave you guys Joe Burrow. So you guys switch up, get him out the Big Ten for us. But now, it's done, I guess.
But Carl, you guys haven't had a lot of trouble of beating the school up north anyway, though, right?
Yeah, but before this three-year spat, well, we ain't – well, really 4 years because this forfeited. They didn't even show up during the pandemic game. They pulled back because they was about to get a butt-whooping. So then they regrouped themselves. But before that, we had beat them 8 straight years. So, you know, I mean, but I'm just saying, you had the top guy in the nation, but I guess Tom Brady is, you know, stepping in and he's mentoring him on, you know, what to do, filming other people's practices, footballs.
That's not the problem, Carl. That wasn't the problem. You got to think bigger than Tom Brady.
Okay, what's bigger?
Who's the owner?
$10 million
keep going. You're headed in the right direction. Who is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He must be a Michigan guy then.
If it's not the Clippers, it's the other. I think it's Ballmer is the Clippers owner. Yeah, Steve Ballmer is the Clippers owner, and I don't think it's Ballmer, but it is one of the. I think it's Ellison, maybe I read. But they've got two guys that Tom Brady can't touch as far as money wise. Now having Tom Brady as a mentor definitely helps, no doubt about it. The kid was 30 minutes away from campus and. Allegedly, we'll go there. They put together a nice NIL package, and we can call it a name and likeness all we want. It's pay to play. Let's not kid ourselves, but that's another conversation. I think part of it as well, not having the success that was expected at LSU this year probably didn't help. And it just gave a little doubt for Michigan to be able to come in and continue to have his ear and, you know, kind of give him the king's ransom that maybe he felt like that he deserved in the first place.
that makes a lot of sense, and it's unfortunate, but I think also, Deuce, I know it's a lot of hard feelings right now, and the season ain't going well with LSU, but Brian Kelly really sort of saved LSU football, and a lot of people ain't going to think about that. But when he came in, when Coach O left, there was a lot of players leaving. It was a lot of issues. There was allegations, NCAA allegations, people, you know, the whole thing with some of the women and saying they were, you know, done wrong and everything. So that was a firestorm, and he came in, and him getting Jaden Daniels come to LSU and, you know, taking off from there, and this guy wins a Heisman, sort of put all that stuff into forgottenness. So he does deserve credit, but I really don't know how this is going to sort of, you know, be a backlash on him.
Well, it'll definitely be a backlash. I mean, you're the head coach, and so it's always going to be a backlash because, one, he had been committed for a very, very long time. And you talk about some of the other top recruits that you were able to bring in and warn right here in the New Orleans metro area, Harlan Berry, and some of the other potential guys that would have helped with that class. I mean, winning cures a lot of it, and you hadn't won enough. And I think that like I said, that just opened up the door for Michigan to kind of get themselves together, and you lose that QB prospect. But I do think that you still have some pretty good prospects on the roster as far as quarterbacks, and it'll just be intriguing what direction they decide to go at the starting quarterback position.
Carl, appreciate the phone call. Good luck tomorrow, by the way. Indiana behind Kurt Cignetti of James Madison lore will take on Ohio State.
A richer Kurt Cignetti as well.
Much richer Kurt Cignetti. We'll see how that shakes out, but best of luck. Thanks for your call. Take a break. We're going to talk Tulane football and their season coming up with Gary Smith, the beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of the Wave Report. Fans and a Pro comes back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, welcome back. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister until 6 o'clock tonight, and we are ready to talk some Tulane football with Gary Smith, Tulane beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of the WaveReport.com. Really, since the Kansas State-Oklahoma game, Gary, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and myself. And then just a statement game to go to Annapolis, 35-0, to kind of secure your third straight year in the conference title game. Don't know where yet, but, man, that's an impressive win to go to Annapolis the way Navy's been playing this year and shut them out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate giving me the time. But you could kind of see it coming because this Tulane team is so much better than it was at the beginning of the year. John Summerall came in, coached the team in the spring, realized they had a lot of weaknesses on defense. He went out and got basically five new starters after spring practice. They'd already brought in some guys in the spring. It just took those guys some time to gel, and Tulane was not a particularly good defensive team earlier in the year. They've gotten better and better and better on that side of the ball. They're incredibly deep. And, you know, they'd almost shut out their two previous opponents, Charlotte and Temple. And then they went to Navy, and, yeah, they played their best game of the year and just completely just shackled that offense. This is now a defense that's given up 9 total points in 3 games, and it's their depth is just is off the charts. They had over 20 guys make tackles in that game. They basically are too deep at every position with guys that can make plays, and that's made this team extremely, extremely dangerous going down the stretch here.
And that's and Gary, I guess that's where, you know, yeah. I think I was going to go with my question mm-hmm. was, is that the unit that's probably playing elite at this point of the season?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, their offense is good. Certainly, Mekhi Hughes is one of the better running backs in the country. Darian Mensa was a revelation as a redshirt freshman quarterback. They've got three wide receivers who can American Athletic Conference DBs have a hard time staying with. But the defense is the story of why this team is so good now. I mean, their leading tackler, Tyler Grubbs, he has 45 tackles for the year in 11 games. He's on pace to have the lowest number of tackles for Tulane's leading tackler since they began keeping official records of those in 1969 because they're just so dang balanced. They got Sam Howard, was a transfer from Austin Peay they brought in, a tremendous leader and a tremendous player, leads the nation with 5 fumble recoveries, a big hitter. You put him and Tyler Grubbs back there at linebacker, and it's one of the smartest linebacker duos in the country and one of the best linebacker duos in the country. So you start there. And yet the defense is just and Greg Gasparato, the defensive coordinator, is an excellent defensive coordinator. They've rounded it. I think they have one of the better defenses in the country right now.
And so it's kind of an open weekend, but really you mm-hmm. play on Thursday, so it's yeah. quick. But it's kind of a unique situation because so you got you're like everybody else. You're out there. You're rooting for Army to go yeah. and beat Notre Dame, and then you're watching Boise State and Wyoming on the road and mm-hmm. UNLV. You got all these other factors involved that you don't control, and all you can worry about, of course, is Memphis on Thanksgiving Day. But it is kind of, from where things were earlier this year to kind of in this, it's just working your way into the conversation. You got to keep winning and then hope yep. that you get some help, but be in the conversation.
And that's where good coaching comes into play. John Sumrall, look, everything you just mentioned is natural. It would be totally natural for this team to relax a little bit going into that game against Memphis on Thanksgiving night. But John Sumrall, he's going to do everything in his power not to let that happen. And I think it helps that they had a bye week earlier this year and then played really poorly against Rice. And it was a tie game early in the fourth quarter before Tulane put him away. And the players remember that. This is, like you said, this isn't a full bye week. It's a partial bye week, but that's already on their minds that they can't relax 1 second because they feel like they kind of did let down with their previous bye week. I don't really think that's going to be an issue. And yet, the Army-Navy game is interesting. It depends on your perspective who you want to win that game, because if Army wins the game, then that means that Tulane is definitely – not definitely, is most likely going to Army for the conference championship game, because it's going to be based on who is ranked higher in the college football playoff rankings that come out next Tuesday before the Tulane-Memphis game. And if both teams were to win their last conference game, then Army would be the higher-ranked team. And if Army loses to Notre Dame, then Tulane would definitely be the higher-ranked team. And if they beat Memphis, they'd essentially guarantee that they would be hosting the game. So it depends. Yeah, if you're Tulane, maybe you want to beat an Army team that's undefeated and really ranked high, or do you want to have a home game where you have the clear advantage? It'll be interesting to see who they're actually pulling for in that game.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Is it based off of where you're ranked determining who hosts that game? And so, yes, you probably for them to be able to host, you want Army to lose, but how do they get back into the conversation as far as being one of those at-large bids?
For the playoffs, it really there's two fronts on that. One, they're in really good position if Boise State loses a game. Now, that's a problem because Boise State, they have the best running back in the country in Ashton Gentry, and they actually lead the nation in sacks. So it may be asking a lot for Boise State to lose a game, but Boise State has not played as well recently. They were down 14-0 in the second quarter to San Jose State on Saturday, and San Jose State had 4th-and-1 at the 2-yard line to go up 21-0, didn't convert it. It went downhill from them there. But and it really doesn't matter. As long as Tulane wins their next two games, if Boise State loses, I think Tulane will be in the playoffs if that happens. But if you're assuming Boise State isn't going to lose, it does matter who Tulane beats and how they beat them, because the other possibility to get in is the Big 12. Right now, they have a bunch of 2-loss teams. If those teams lose again, there's a real possibility that a Tulane 11-2 Tulane that just beat Memphis and Army would be ahead of the Big 12 representative. And there's no rule that the Power Four conferences get in. It's the top five rated conference champion. So there's really two scenarios for Tulane to get in the playoffs. One is Boise State losing if Tulane wins out, and the other is both Colorado and BYU right now have two losses, and I think Iowa State has two. If all of them lose again before the Big 12 season is over, that's another way that Tulane could get in. So that actually might be a more realistic possibility than Boise State losing at this point.
Understood. I got to ask you about the hoop squads uptown.
Yep.
So far, what are your thoughts early in the year so far of what you've seen?
I don't really have many thoughts on them because their schedule has been so weak. I will say this, their defense is a lot more, they play with a lot more intensity and they have a lot more athletic ability on defense than they did last year. Again, you gotta judge who they played as part of this, but right now Tulane's second in the country in field goal percentage defense. Opponents are only hitting 30% of their shots against them after five games. Obviously that's going to change when the schedule toughens up, but Ron Hunter, he had to remake his whole roster pretty much after losing almost all of his key guys from last year for various reasons. He's pretty optimistic, but I'm going to wait till they start playing better competition to see where they are, because there's so many new parts. Offensively, they've looked a little sketchy in the first five games. We'll see what happens down the road.
So just, flipping back kind of to the football situation, because it's an issue. It's a good issue. Yeah. And it's, if you're not playing well, you're looking at your coach. If you're playing well, somebody else is looking at your coach.
No doubt.
And so John Sumrall, you see it every year, and it's a testament to the organization and the school, but you got to figure out a way to try and keep him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, John Sumrall checks every box. He's personable. He relates well to his players. He coaches well. He hires well. He's everything a Power Four conference school would be looking for. He's now been a head coach for 3 years, and he's yet to lose in October, November, or December as a head coach. He was 1-2 in his first 2 years at Troy, won the conference championship without losing again both years, and he was 1-2 in his first year at Tulane, and he's in position if he wins his next two to do the same thing. Yeah, I mean, look, one case Tulane can make is that everything's in place. Within the current system, you can make the college football playoff at a school like Tulane, and that was not the case until this new system with the 12 teams in the playoff. But yeah, there's definitely that concern, and the biggest concern right now is Kentucky. That's his alma mater. He was an assistant coach there. They're having a tough time. I think they've lost five games in a row. If Stoops is forced out there, you'd got to think that John Sumrall would be the first person that Kentucky would look after. So yeah, that obviously, if you're winning, that's the case. I think, and by the way, I think that was a huge thing Tulane did, because I think in past administrations they would not have gone after John Sumrall because they would have been worried that he would leave too quickly. And that's just, you can't think that way. You've got to bring in a coach who's going to win, who puts himself into position where that's a possibility. And Tulane did. I'm telling you, the other candidates that were the finalists for the Tulane head coaching job, I think if any one of them had gotten it, this team might be 4-6 right now. And they got John Sumrall, and they're sitting there with a real chance to win a second conference championship in 3 years and an outside chance to make the college football playoff. It's heady times right now. And, yeah, with a little concern on top of that.
Right. So my final question is kind of that, and it's like we've waited so long to get this 12 playoff, but it already feels like, man, they're going to tweak this thing, right? Five automatic qualifiers, just five conference champions, highest rank, and the top four of those get byes. We've waited so long to get it out. We can't wait to change it.
it's a concern, but it's more a concern. What would really be a concern is if the SEC or the Big 12 and the Big Ten felt slighted, because they're the two dominant conferences right now. I'm not sure what the reaction will be. Say if the Big 12 doesn't get anybody in the playoff, the Big 12 would be furious if that happened, but I don't think it carries the same weight. The SEC and the Big 10 control everything now, but yet that is certainly a concern, and that's another factor, is will the group of five conference conferences get squeezed out of a future playoff if they change the format. They're safe for 2 years for sure, but yeah, you bring up a legitimate point there.
Well, it's an off weekend, but you're going to be working on Thanksgiving. But have a great Thanksgiving for you and your family. Keep that roll wave rolling, and then host another championship because they've won back to back.
And just one quick thing on this. If Tulane were to make the college football playoffs, I'm not kidding you, they would have a chance to win that first game. It wouldn't be easy because they'd be on the road almost certainly playing a number five seed. But this Tulane team, there's no great teams in college football this year. And this Tulane team is talented enough that they can play with anybody in the country.
Right. They would not be anybody who would want to play. I can assure you of that.
Nope.
Gary
Absolutely
Smith.
Absolutely not.
You bet. Appreciate your time. Tulane beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of thewavereport.com. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the night.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Good stuff, as always. And fun to have because Tulane's been a real bright spot uptown and for this, college and pro football season, though there's a lot of football to be played. Got to take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Until 6 o'clock tonight, then it's Pelicans pregame. Pelicans in Golden State tonight. It's an early tip-off, so 6:30. So the pregame show at 6. Also at 6 o'clock will be the Brian Kelly Show, followed by the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Playoffs, of course, that'll be on 105.3. But Pelicans and Golden State tonight at 6:30. And what a time of year, right? I mean, first off, weather, just unbelievable. So end of November, we have the Battle of the Bands. First off, Thanksgiving, Thursday, late Thanksgiving. Tulane plays Thursday. Battle of the Bands, Friday.
Tulane is at 6:30 that night.
On Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving night.
Perfect. Battle of the Bands, Bayou Classic on Friday, Bayou Classic Saturday, Saints-Rams Sunday, high school football playoffs the 12th, 13th, and 14th, the R&L Carriers Bowl the 19th, could be James Madison, we're still in the air on that one, and the All-State Sugar Bowl, which is a quarterfinal this year, is January 1. That's the next, but I didn't even include Saints and Washington, Saints and Las Vegas. The Saints have three more home games left, complete with Rams, Washington, and Vegas.
Let me get through next week. What you're giving me is a little bit more than I don't want to say process right now, but you skipped over to playoffs as far as high school playoffs, 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Right.
Playoffs are going on right now as well.
Yeah, I'm at the finals.
You were talking about the finals, and I'm just like, I'm processing, moving that around in my head. Saints Sunday, then you got Battle of the Bands, you got Tulane, then you got the actual game for Bayou Classic. We haven't even thrown in any of the Pelicans games in that schedule.
You're right.
But
that was a broad overview.
If you want and need something to do, there you go.
You did not have a problem. There's enough to do out there in this town. So I mentioned this earlier. We haven't talked about him yet. Offensive Player of the Week, Taysom Hill.
Yep.
Right? So the records just kept flying out. So now Taysom's 34 and 86 days. Now I feel like he's a young 34. He had his mission. Before he went to BYU, so that's 2 years, no football. Didn't really play a ton, 17 and 18, as from the sense about just, body hits. He had a medical redshirt year. So the problem is that's 5 years. So he's at 29, but the abuse that he puts on his body is...
You got to probably go back to BYU.
Right, he missed a ton of time.
That
was the medical redshirt year, plus all the other injuries.
All of the other injuries, and I think it was a new injury or at least you aggravated something each year.
Right, exactly.
At BYU. I mean, and so he's taken a ton of hits.
Oh, my gosh.
A ton of hits. And I've tried to, Taysom, it's okay to go down, or it's okay for me to live to see the next play. And like he told Jeff, I can't play like that.
Yeah, it's only one way to play. Yeah, if you try to play like that, you get hurt.
Well, not for me.
Well,
but
I mean, for him.
For him, he felt like that's just not who he is or who he wants to be as a player, which I respect. But, I mean, it's just like, I think me and you talked about it. Sometimes you just run out of words and you just want to watch.
Yeah. Believe me, I've been listening to the broadcast from the other day. I was watching. Like, a guy wrote me, he goes, dude, you got to finish the play. And I was like, I he was right. I apologize to him.
But do you see what this young man is doing?
He goes, I can't. It's radio.
And this is, that's the problem as well. I can't. I want you to talk about it. But I don't know if I can describe it the right way that it deserves to be talked about. That's where you just you're almost in awe, because it is truly a player from Friday night football playing against other players.
Right.
And it's just like, yep, I'm going to play offense, I'm going to play defense, I'm going to play special teams. And guess what? I am going to be just as good as any other player out on the field every time. Like, what do you mean? I may not be the best player on the field, but when I touch the ball or when I'm out on the field, I'm very close.
So I started this because I don't when I say he's 34 in 86 days, he's a kid to me. He's young. But in the NFL, his 75-yarder, for anybody in the NFL his age or older, that is the longest run in the history of the NFL. The next closest is 54 yards by Ollie Mattson in 2018. So here's the clincher. His 33-yard run is tied for seventh. Like, that 33-yard, his other touchdown on Sunday is tied for seventh. He has two of the longest touchdown runs for anybody that's 34 years or older in 86 days.
It just, normally you don't get to play at that age.
Right.
And you don't get to play because most of the times you've slowed down.
Right. So here's the last. He has 44 career touchdowns. He's ninth place all time Saints history. By the way, thanks to Drew Poche for these notes. He's a huge help. So 44 career touchdowns, ninth on the Saints history. 35 of his 44 since he turned 30. See? I mean, it's like, what? Unbelievable.
When you normally are kicked out the door, he's gotten better.
And I was talking to Jeff Ireland and Mike Ball, who's an NFL scout, mm-hmm. national scout, and he says, hey, I'm covering somebody that might be like the next Taysom. He wouldn't tell me, but he's Big 12, SEC, ACC, and I was like, good Lord. He like teased me twice. So I was like, wow, that's impressive. And I said, I want no bulletin board material, but I can assure you, I've talked to many people and done many shows. Green Bay people and the Packer fans have not forgotten them letting him go in 2017.
But they didn't want him.
I know, but it's easy to say now, right? Oh my God, what were you doing?
How were you thinking?
You put him on the waiver wire.
You weren't going to use him in that way anyway.
I don't think anybody knew they could.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
Even when they talked Mike Ball, they said, what if we put him on kickoff return? And at the time, he was a quarterback. I said, well, I don't know, man. I guess we never thought about putting our quarterback on the kickoff return. Mike Westhoff, he said, well, he could be the protector. And then, boom, there you go. That's how it started.
And once you see him as a protector, it's like, wait, he's actually just a football player. He's a quarterback, but he's a football player that can do a lot of other things.
And that's one thing we've not talked about or haven't changed. He's come close to blocking a punt this year maybe three or four times.
Well, he's blocked one before.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, of all the things.
Right.
But he's, you know, that's another one. He's come close to.
Well, the hat trick, and he doesn't do punts, but the hat trick is a kickoff return. I mean, he had the 40-yarder.
Yeah, 42, longest of the season.
Yeah, but the hat trick of all things is to
pass,
return.
Pass, receiving.
Yeah.
Wait, that would be four. Pass, receiving, rushing, kickoff return.
And a kickoff return.
Unbelievable. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Just one more block until we get back with the Pelicans or Brian Kelly. Your choice. We're back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Just a few more minutes left tonight, and I always like to finish the show making you uncomfortable, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable because I know you hate talking about yourself. What you doing this week? What's the Thanksgiving plans?
Oh, Thanksgiving or this weekend? Thanksgiving, we were going up to Mississippi. You heard the key word, were. We will be here now in New Orleans. The kids kind of run the house, and so my wife,
welcome to my world.
Yeah, she does as well, but it's really them that kind of run things, and so they want to hang here in New Orleans, so we'll be here and may try to catch the Tulane game. And, you know, for me, I want to know how cold it's going to be before I go in those elements. But, you know, just to be around family and friends, that's really what I got this week. And yourself?
But you're gonna be in basketball gyms all weekend.
Oh, now this weekend you can find me at the local rec center or Lario Center or one of the three at one of, you know, some local high school gyms. And I know the season has kicked off for a lot of teams, and so that's where I will be at. I was hoping to go up and see the, and you probably remember the Soul Bowl. I was trying to go up to the Soul Bowl, and
it's Alcorn
and Jackson State.
Yeah.
And so my nephew is one of the quarterbacks there, and I was trying to go see them, and all of a sudden, Dad, I got a game and I got a preseason tournament. I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You
know, tell them what time.
Yeah. And so, be at the gym at 7:30 promptly. And so, wait, you mean 7:30 at night? No. 7:30 a.m.
For a game at 8. Good gosh, yeah. Man. And them so, kids can't drink coffee either. That's
they
tough.
Can't drink coffee, but I can.
Well, I will see you probably. If I don't, have a great Thanksgiving. Same to you, Charlie. Thanks for all of your help and helping me out, telling me in my ear whatever some of the answers to Deuce's quizzes are. hey, everybody have a safe Thanksgiving. Saints are off, but of course, Tulane on Thursday. I hope all of your teams out there win, and we'll be talking to you soon. The Saints and the Rams next Sunday. Thanks for listening.